And then I think the next hole is a par three, or maybe the hole after that. And it, the water all around, like I was shaking, like my hands were shaking. I was so nervous. Like, it's been a while since I've played for anything that much money. I've never won that much money on any tour event. And I somehow put a good swing on it. It's just like you try and lower the importance of it in your mind, even though you know how important it is.
Right,
You know?
right.
Welcome back to Any Given Monday. I'm guest host Mark Baldwin, tagging in for our man Ryan French. Man, have we got a good one for you today. Our guest is Jordan Weber, the winner of the fourth Next Tour event, played virtually at PGA West Stadium Course. For those unfamiliar, the Next Tour is an international virtual golf tour played on simulators around the world and powered by TrackMan. I just started playing in these events, and after getting my ass thoroughly kicked, I decided it was best to talk to the players who know what they're doing, which is what led me to Jordan. Jordan was a former professional golfer who decided to hang it up and work in the world of finance before he discovered virtual golf. And as you'll hear, his trajectory has changed. He's about to open up his own virtual golf center, and with DP World Tour exemptions on the line and significant prize money from the Next Tour up for grabs, he's enjoying every minute of this unexpected resurgence. Jordan is a lovely guy. I think by the end of this, you'll be a fan. Our captain and usual host, Ryan French, tags in at various points in the conversation. Ryan, he's on the road with spotty service, and as always, he made the conversation better. As he would say, without further ado, here is Jordan Weber.
Jordan, congratulations on all your recent play. It's unbelievable, and you have an incredible story. I'm excited to dive into it with you. But I just want to start out with, how are you feeling after these two incredible weeks?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I can't believe it. I've been playing such great golf, and it's been so long since I've competed at such a high level that I didn't know what to expect when I started playing in these events, and then just didn't want to lose all my money basically, and then to come out and actually do well and in the first couple, and then to win one was it was the best feeling ever. And what's been the most fun is the family and friends have such a great time following. And so that makes it really fun for me.
That's really cool. So they're able and have been watching, tuning into leaderboard, watching the scoreboard, and getting to see all of your shots.
Yeah. And so with the cool thing about the Next Tour is how they do all their video, and how I love how, they just cut perfectly where you can just watch all the shots and you can hear some audio. So you can follow around really fast, which I think is cool. After my last round, a lot of people asked me to live stream my round. So I actually just played today and live streamed that, and a bunch of people liked following along on that. So that was fun.
Oh, wow. That was just today.
Yeah. I just played this morning, just finished up a couple hours ago.
Wow. So yeah, I just looked at the leaderboard for Muirfield Village, and you again are sitting at the top of it at 6 under, which is an incredible round at that place. It's a very hard golf course, especially on virtual golf.
It is hard. Yeah. The course was, the fairways, a lot of them, they like fall away from you as they curve around the corner. And so like keeping it in the fairway is very difficult at Muirfield. And then there's a lot of deep bunkers. Even in the simulator, if you get in a couple of those deep bunkers, you have to hit like 9 iron pitching wedge out because you'll hit the lip. So it's very realistic in that sense, which makes it super fun and very challenging for sure.
Right. Okay, let's go back. We'll come back to your recent play. I know Ryan really wants to get into that with you, so hopefully he'll be able to join us. But take me back. I saw a tweet by one of your former teammates from Northern Iowa, Jared Dorfler.
Yes.
About your backstory. and how you were the best ball striker that Jared had ever played with and seen. And you initially raised money with some shares. And take me back to the beginning of your professional career. What was the outset like?
Yeah. Jared's a good friend of mine and always been one of my biggest supporters. He over-exaggerates my ball striking for sure, but
like any good friend should.
But yeah, my backstory is I played well at UNI, and so I wanted to play professionally afterwards, and so I did that. I raised some money from friends and family to start playing, and the first couple of years I did well. I played the Dakotas Tour, which is mainly in North and South Dakota. They have one in Iowa. I played that in the summer, and then the Moonlight Tour and just some little stuff down in Florida during the winter. And I worked with Mike Bender down there for a while. And so was playing great. You know, I one season on the Dakotas Tour, I played five events and had like a first and 2 seconds and two thirds. So it's like, really felt like I was playing well. I think that was 2009 or 2010. So I tried Q School that year. And then I got the yips. I mean, it was unfortunate. The pressure, I don't know. Obviously, the pressure gets to you a little bit. And then it never left me. And I just fought going to the long putter for so long. You know, back then in 2009, 2010, it was like only the senior tour players were using the long putter. So it's like, I'm not doing that. but, you know, since then, you know, I quit playing because just kind of ran out of money. I wasn't playing well. I lost my confidence and all that. So, you know, I got a real job. I started working at Wells Fargo, which really enjoyed. I got into data analytics and I liked that. But then I bought a long putter. So I'm like, I just want to enjoy playing again. And so, you know, then it was fun again. And then, you know, just so happened that, you know, my brother-in-law hired me at his company and he had a bunch of space. So I kept bothering him. I'm like, hey, what do you think about a simulator business? You know, like I'm always interested in those. And he's like, yeah, let's give it a shot. And so we bought a couple and I started practicing and, started joining these tours and started doing well. And, you know, it just kind of led to this and now here we are.
Wow. So how long ago was that where you got your simulator business up and running?
So we're not up and running yet. Oh, okay. It's been a long process. Unfortunately, there's a lot of more steps than you anticipate in doing these things. So we're getting closer. We're hoping to be open late spring this summer, but you know, we kind of started kicking it around last summer. You know, there's some cool new simulators out that I wanted to try. I thought, hey, they're getting more affordable, maybe we could try this. And you know, and then you know, I just started playing all the time because they're so fun. And you know, now I've gotten better and better, and yeah, I think my game's better than it's ever been.
Ryan French, welcome to our chat.
Jordan, how are you, man? Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thanks. Hi, nice to meet you, Ryan.
Nice to meet you. Really, really awesome. I'm probably going to listen, Jordan. I'm driving. I'll just listen and add and let Mark kind of run it. But no really problem. Awesome, man. Super.
Thank you.
This is awesome to hear, and I kind of want to hear what your plans are going forward.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Ryan, just to fill you in as well, Jordan played his most recent round for Next today, and he currently sits on top of that leaderboard as well.
Come on, seriously.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Dude, you might just have to, like, this whole, I've heard from Jared that you're going to, like, or no, we heard from Bernd, right, Mark? That you're going to open your own studio. Might just have to just play full-time simulator golf and, you know,
that wouldn't be the worst job in the world.
forget about running a business. Just play simulator golf.
Gosh, so we were just talking about that, and that leads me to the question. You're in the process of getting your simulator business open, and you've been testing out different simulator tech. Where have you been playing the next events?
Yeah, so we have a retail space, and we've opened up some space to build this out. And so it's wide open. We have two simulators in there right now. We're not open yet, so it's just kind of for us to use right now. Right. And so that's where I've been playing. I'm just on my own simulator in our retail space.
Okay. And you had mentioned that you had started playing other simulator competitions. Was that outside of Next?
Yeah. So our first simulator that we bought was a Unicore, and then paired that with GS Pro is what the software is called. There's a guy actually out of Ankeny, which is real close to me, that started the simulator golf tour is what it's called. And there's a whole bunch of guys that play it, and they have weekly tournaments and world golf rankings and all of that. So I started playing on that, and then I started playing well. I got to number one in the world on that. So I was like, that was pretty cool. And then that kind of led me to like, hey, what else is out there? TrackMan came out with the new TrackMan IO simulator. And so I was curious about that. We wanted to test that out, see if that's good. And so we got one of those in here and been testing it out. And that led me to the next tour. And I was like, hey, I did pretty well on that other tour. Maybe I'll try this out. And it's worked out.
Right. So when you started on the next tour, you were the number one ranked virtual player in the world.
On GS Pro, yeah. So it's specific to that software. I did get there. I don't know if I was right at the time, but yeah, I had to stop playing those tournaments just because the putting and chipping so much different between the two softwares that I just wanted to focus on the TrackMan and that. It's super fun. All of them are really fun. The great thing about simulators is you can compete with people from all over the world very often, right? Like the GS Pro Tour had four tournaments a week that you could play in. They had a par three event and a auto putt event and all that. So it's like you're constantly competing, and there's some really good players on there too. And so that's what I love about virtual golf, is just that opportunity to compete very often and against a lot of good players from all over the world. It's great.
Ryan, did you want to tag in? I saw you come off mute there for a second.
Yeah. So I didn't even honestly know there was another virtual tour. I mean, I assume there was, but nothing as organized as you described. So was it basically, I know there's variations in software and those kind of things, was it basically the same thing as Next, Jordan?
They do a little different style. So they have one tournament a week, and it's two rounds. And so you'd play two rounds every week. And on that software, a lot of the courses that are on the PGA Tour are all built out. So you'd kind of play the same course of the PGA Tour every week. A little bit of difference is they'd play one tee up all the time. So a lot of the courses were a little shorter. And so that was the only difference.
Was it amateurs and pros mixture?
Yep, it was. There are a couple pros that played on it, mostly amateurs on that one. But there are a couple pros that I knew of.
How did you find playing two rounds versus playing one round, and which do you prefer?
Yeah, playing two rounds, you know, it removes a little bit of the luck factor. People can always have a hot round, you know, so it's like two rounds better identifies the best player, I think. It's all fun. One round is still great. And it's great for people watching, you know. It's like some of my friends and family have said, you know, it's like the most exciting hour of the 2 weeks I have, you know. So it's like, you know, it's just so much pressure packed into 1 hour of playing. So that makes it really fun too. So either way is great. But they just have their advantages, each one.
Sure. You've progressively gotten better every time. So I assume your friends and family who watch you also watched the early rounds where you played well, but you weren't really in contention.
Yeah. The first event, we didn't have our TrackMan simulator at that time. So I had traveled to a different location, played on it. And, you know, it was when I was playing on the GS Pro software. So it's like kind of a little bit of a change and adjustment. And so there's a little bit of a learning curve there, which I think took some getting used to the first event. The second event, I felt like I was ready for. And I played pretty well. Just didn't quite make the putts, but yeah, like the first event, none of my friends or family even knew I was playing anything. You know, I didn't think anything of it really. Like, hey, I'm just playing in this cool tour, but I'm probably going to miss the cut and whatever, you know, and then I started doing okay. So then a few more started to pay attention. And then when I won, like, now it feels like every and anybody I know is like asking me about it and following along, and they're really excited about it. It's really fun for them to watch, which makes it fun for me.
Can you talk specifically about the differences? So Mark is kind of on this big learning curve of playing simulator golf. And so when you say the differences between the two systems, can you give me like two shots or two scenarios that would be different on what, maybe the same shot would be different on the two softwares?
Yeah, so the main difference I've seen between the two softwares is short game. So the long game, the simulators now are so good. Like I have a Unicore simulator and a TrackMan now. And if I go hit a 177 yard shot on the Unicore, if I go hit the same shot on the TrackMan, it'll be 177 yards. I mean, they're like really, really good and both very accurate in that. What I've noticed is around just the way the ball reacts around the greens is different. So like on GS Pro, it feels like the ball stops faster and doesn't roll out as much. And the slopes don't affect the ball quite as much as TrackMan. So TrackMan, if you get a downhill shot, it'll roll out forever. And so you gotta hit a lot of higher shots and softer shots around the greens. And putting the same thing, you know, you gotta be really careful of the slope on TrackMan. GS Pro has a setting on there where it kind of smooths out the putting a little bit. So if you miss right or left a little bit, it'll smooth it out just a little. They do have a hard setting where it doesn't smooth it out at all, but the tournaments kind of play on the little bit easier setting. So that makes putting a little easier, which you'll see the scores are a lot lower on that tour because of that. So, which I think has helped me, like playing in that tour, you had to shoot 12, 13 under each round in order to have a chance to win. And so coming into TrackMan, like I still kind of set that as in my head, as like, hey, I want to shoot 12 under or whatever. And I only shoot 6 under, but that's good enough on TrackMan. So, cause it's just a little more difficult to make putts.
You'd be giving me 5 aside and I'd be struggling to keep up. So on that note, Jordan, when you started, like we've talked about, you've gotten progressively better. Part of it was the learning curve of the software you're used to, but were there other learning curves? Like I'm struggling with short game and touch around the greens more so than anything else. And also recovery shots and trying to figure out, you know, will a shot get through that, that gap in the trees over there? So strategy as well. What were some of those challenges for you early on and how have you overcome them?
Yeah, good question. You know, you're right with the trees, like, you know, on some softwares, you know, they call them colliders. They don't put colliders on every single branch out there. So sometimes you can get through that branch, sometimes you can't. So it's like you kind of got to weigh the risk and reward versus trying it. And so, yeah, that's a little bit of a learning curve. And really what I've kind of gone to is just go for it. And then, yeah, also the rough, you know, getting used to the percentages. So it takes off a certain percentage and reduces spin by a certain percentage. So, you know, getting used to how the ball is going to come out and how it's going to stop on the greens based on that has been a little bit of a learning curve. But once you get it, it's better. And then the short game, definitely how it comes out of the bunkers is kind of unique sometimes. You know, they always take off a certain percentage. And so just getting a feel for, hey, if I have a 15 yard bunker shot and it's kind of a flat green, you know, how, if you hit a high soft shot, how far do I need to fly it on a normal shot that it'll go the right distance on the sand shot? And so it's kind of like anything else. You just kind of got to practice ahead of it and pay attention to your numbers. Right. And then you can kind of figure it out, but it does take time. I mean, when I first got the simulator, my first one, I didn't play well on that tour for a good 2 or 3 months. I mean, you know, those guys whooping me, and I just thought, you know, that they were so much better than me. And then, you know, you just start to get more and more comfortable with it. You start to figure out the putting and the chipping and all that. And then you can play a lot better, but it does take a little practice.
Right. No, it really does humble you.
From what I've heard, I mean, I have a simulator at my house, and I just, yeah.
You're humble all the time.
Yeah, I'm humbled repeatedly.
Which one do you have?
Skytrack Plus.
Okay. Nice.
And I wouldn't be able to give you an educated, you know, I don't care enough, Jordan, to tell you if it's good or not. Like, you know, I'm enjoying myself, so I don't, but it's hard. So let's go to practice, Jordan. Let's say you're going to practice. Do you just play? Do you do a short game drill of some sort? How are you figuring out, like, the percentages that you are talking about, rough? Like, what does a practice session look like?
Yeah, no, one of the things I've really fallen in love with TrackMan is their practice modules that they have. They have this, like, target practice range where they have all these greens set up with bunkers and water all over, and you can set up any yardage and shot you could think of. And I really love going on there and hitting a lot of wedges. It's still like normal golf, like ball striking is super important. If you can strike it well, you know, hit it solidly, hit your distances and keep it in play, hit it straight, you're going to do really well in the simulators. And I also work a lot on my speed. Hitting it far on the simulator is super important when you're competing. You know, you don't really lose a ball in the simulator. The simulator always finds your ball. So if you can get it out there a long ways, you have an advantage on that. So I do speed drills at least 3 or 4 times a week. I'm always working on my wedge distances. The other things I love to do is I love, you know, it gives you your spin axis and all that. So I love practicing face control, you know, so I'll sit there and try and hit a zero axis spin shot, so it goes dead straight, you know, and then I'll work on my path, you know, try and get my path into out 1 degree, or, you know, if I'm hooking it too much, I'll try and get it to zero, you know? So it's like, since everything is measured, you can challenge yourself in so many different ways, which helps you improve.
You're just like Tiger, zeroing out everything.
Hey, Mark, when he used the word colliders, that's when I realized how far you have no chance to win any of these events. When you start using inside words like colliders.
I am a simulator nerd, so I like research what all these builders are doing and how they're building these things. And so that's a word they use. And so
made me realize Mark has no shot. Like, I was like, oh, Mark is a very talented player. He can figure it out. But yeah, no, Mark, you're just destined to be a 75 shooter on the simulator.
Well, it's funny because, you know, there's this hubris, I think, when you play regularly, play on various tours and have some success. I mean, there's been multiple players who have played in the PGA Tour that I've talked to recently who have signed up for the next event. This is including me. Just assumed that they were going to go into the simulator and it was going to translate directly. And they were going to be like, oh yeah, if I play well today, I'm going to shoot, you know, 63. And if I don't play well, I'm going to shoot 68. And they come away struggling to break 80. And they're like, what just happened? And that was me when I haven't played many rounds, but that's me currently. So I'm trying to overcome that learning curve. And I talked to Oliver Lilydahl this morning, and he said that he played 32 practice rounds prior to the first event, which he won. And I realized I'm starting so far behind the learning curve, and he's also taking this so much more seriously, and he's so dedicated to it, which is exactly the boat that you're in. So if you just think you're going to show up and your skill set and your previous experience is going to translate directly, you're in for a rude awakening.
Yes. Ryan, I will add that Ryan McCormick shot 87. Is that what? I believe it was 87 in his first round.
Like 83, like
83 or something. Mark's first experience, he called me laughing after his first round. It was a practice round, and he was like, well, I ping-ponged the ball across the green about 32 times and was on my way to an 85 before I quit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was winning these GS Pro events, and I started playing on TrackMan. I was shooting, you know, mid-70s, like, expecting to shoot 13 under every round. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm never going to get this. You know, the putting is so hard and chipping, but you just keep doing it and you figure it out. You're a good player. You're going to figure it out. You just got to put in a little time on it for sure.
Right. That's it, isn't it? There's no shortcut to this. You just have to put in the time and the work.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go now to your win at PGA West. First hole of the day, you hit a low, quick duck hook right off the bat.
Yeah, it's a shot I struggle with. That was a new driver. I've been playing Titleist drivers for a while now, and I kept cracking the face in my TSI-4. And so I said, all right, I'm going to try something else. So I bought this Cobra Aerojet LS because it's supposed to be a long-hitting driver. And so I started using that, and I didn't have a ton of confidence with it. And, you know, it showed up on the first tee there.
Yeah.
Just a low snap hook. Luckily, I was able to keep it in play after that. But yeah, not the start I was looking for sure.
Right. No, you figured it out quickly because then you made 11 birdies after that. You shoot 10 under, you win. What does it feel like coming up down those last few holes? Does it feel like a normal round, or are you so into it that you're aware of how low you're going and that you're right there and probably have a pretty good chance to win? What were you feeling?
Yeah, so after the first night, you know, I honestly wasn't expecting to win. That 10 under number I thought was going to be a very difficult one. I thought, you know, maybe if I could get to 6, 7, 8 under, that would be a really good round for me. And so, you know, started with a bogey, but I had been playing well. So I kind of thought, you know, I could do well. Then I came back with 4 birdies in a row. And then after that, I started to get a little nervous again, like, hey, I'm doing well. That's good. And then I kind of had a little bit of a lull with a few pars, but then kind of got a few more going. It's like, hey, I might be able to get to that 8 under number. That's kind of what I was trying to get to. Like, hey, I could get second at least, you know, that'd be good. And then, you know, I got to the par 5, I forget what hole, 15 or 16 or something. And I hit a really nice hybrid right onto the green, and my putting felt great. I put some work in on my putting, and I was like feeling like I could make a lot of them. And I felt good on that eagle putt. And I was like, wow, this is a tie for the lead. That'd be crazy. You know, like, I didn't think I could win one of these. And it almost went in, and I was really disappointed that didn't go in. And then I think the next hole is a par 3 or maybe the hole after that. And it, you know, the water all around, like, I was shaking, like, my hands were shaking. I was so nervous. Like, it's been a while since I've played for anything that much money. You know, I've never won that much money on any tour event. And I somehow put a good swing on it. You know, it's just like, you try and lower the importance of it in your mind, even though you know how important it is.
Right, right.
It's like you can relax, but I put a good swing on it and then hit another good putt and it went in. It's like, whoa, this is awesome. And then please don't hit it in the water in 18 and just hit a couple flares to the right on there and then got it up and down. So, you know, you get done and it's like you just have this adrenaline rush. Like, by the end of the day, I remember just like going home being so tired because you just kind of crash at the end of it. It's like everybody's texting me and calling me, and then it's like so exciting and so fun. We're all celebrating, and then it's just crazy. It's so fun, so fun.
Did you know, Jordan, was it the very end of the time frame when you played, and did you know that you had won, or did you, when you finished, was there still time left for somebody to come in and still post a number?
I did play on Saturday. The tournament ends on Sunday. I didn't know that I won for sure. I did know that 10 under was the best score I've seen at any course so far. So I had a good idea that 10 under was probably going to be either first or maybe one person might beat us. But sure. I didn't know that I had the tiebreaker when I finished. You know, that was – after the round, you know, you start looking at it, it's like, okay, what is the tiebreakers? I didn't know what they were. And so then I started looking at them. It's like, oh, I got it. Like, and then it was like, whoa, I might have a chance at this, you know? So then you get all excited all over again. And then you're watching everybody play for the next day and a half, seeing if they're going to beat you.
Right.
Just crazy.
Right. Yeah. How did you celebrate once you realized it was official?
I was at my brother and sister-in-law's house. We were watching the Chiefs game, actually. They're playing, you know, their divisional or AFC championship round. So that was a good game. We were excited, but we were also on our phones the whole time watching the next tour. And then, you know, we videotaped it and we counted down with the timer and then all cheered when it was done. So it was a great moment. All my kids and my nephews were there. And so we had a good time, had a few cocktails after that. So beautiful. That was fun.
That's awesome. So does that change that win? Does that change your outlook, not just on the rest of the next tour, though I'd like to know if it does for these next events. I assume that you have more of a freewheeling style, although it also sounds like part of your strategy is to have a freewheeling style and try to hit drivers everywhere you can. But does it change the thought process of maybe going forward? How does this translate to professional golf outside of the simulator?
It's definitely put some thoughts in my mind. I don't know what it all means yet. I don't know yet. I know I'm just going to try and finish out this next tour. You know, after today's round, I might have a decent shot at finishing top of the list, which would get me into a couple like Challenge Tour and DP World Tour events, right. Which would be crazy. I can't even imagine having that opportunity. And so, you know, it's winter here. So now it's like, I want to go outside and play and see how well it translates outside. You know, like, am I playing super well outside? I don't really know. I think I probably am playing decent, but you just don't know. So it's like, you know, I'll definitely look at the professional tour events that are around Des Moines area and Iowa City. I think the Iowa Open's played there and stuff. So probably try and play in a few of those things this year and see how that goes. I kind of want to get my PGA professional status, take those classes and try and get my Class A status. I'd like to do that. That's always been kind of a thing I've wanted to do. And so those are kind of the things on my mind. If I keep playing well, who knows, maybe more opportunities could open up and we'll look at that as it comes. But right now I'm just kind of having fun. And it was funny how today I felt more nervous than I did in the last event.
Oh, really?
You know, just because so many more people were like texting and asking, hey, let me know when you're playing and all that. So I knew a lot of people were kind of like watching and seeing how I was doing. And
everybody says the hardest thing in the world once you're number one is to stay there.
Yeah. What I do like is that I was joking with my brother-in-law. It's like on days like today, it's like I have speed, you know, like you have this adrenaline rush. It's like a lot of days like hitting 180, 181 ball speeds. Like I really got to go after it. But days like today, it's like I had 185 once today, you know, you're just pumped up and going after it. So I like that part of it.
You know, Mirfield Jordan has a lot of holes, like kind of dog legs, fairways running away. You have water to lay up to or bunkers to carry or lay up to. And you said earlier that you play pretty aggressively. You just try to hit it down there as far as you can. Is that how you played? I mean, was that how you approached Mirfield? And that was the strategy that you took in today's round?
Yeah, there's a couple holes where I did use some strategy. It wasn't, you know, there was one hole that probably looks like you just bomb it and hope is the par five, like fifth or whatever. But I played that round in practice rounds. And if I just hit a high fade over really hard over those trees, like I could get on the downslope like 150 yards away on the par five. Whereas, got to lay up like 240 yards back. Right. And it was pretty consistently a safe shot. So I hit that one. That was pretty aggressive. But then there are other holes that I kind of played safer on. There's, I think it's like 13 or something, a drivable hole, but there's water short and right. I hit 3 wood on that hole just because it left me the perfect angle at that pin. I was disappointed I didn't get it up and down because I hit a perfect three wood and I was like 50 yards away and I didn't get it up and down. But, you know, and then there with my length, there's a couple of the par fours that I can actually carry the long bunkers. They're like 310 carries. Hmm. And so on those holes, definitely just let it rip. So that's, it's kind of analyzing what the carry numbers are and can I get over the trouble and how deep are the bunkers, you know, can I get out of them if I hit them in them? So that's kind of how I analyze the round.
Hey, Jordan, let me kind of take that same question from a different angle for people playing simulator golf. Have you, I don't know if you've played Mirfield Village in real life, but maybe even just take it from the perspective of seeing the holes on a simulator. Do you think, how many holes, or let's just say,
I'm sorry, Ryan, you were cutting out. I couldn't understand the question.
No problem. Yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere. So, if you've played it in real life or just seeing it, how many tee shots would you play differently in real life that you might just be more aggressive on a simulator? Or is there any?
That's a great question. It is hard to say. I do think if I was playing in real life, I'd probably play slightly more conservative. You know, like I said, in the simulator, you know, if you hit it 30, 40 yards offline and it's in some deeper rough, like the simulator always finds it. So, you know, there's a little less risk there. At least you can kind of try and recover. Whereas if you're playing in real life, you know, a lot of times that far offline, it's in thick rough. You don't even find your ball and you're going back to the tee, you know? So it's like, I do typically play a little more conservative in real life than I do on the simulator. But having said that, you know, it's kind of a similar strategy in that it depends on what the carries are over the bunkers and all that stuff. So, you know, if I can carry the bunker and get to like a more open area, which at Mirfield, there were a few of those holes, like at 17, I think was one of them where I could carry the left bunker, I think. No, maybe not. One of them was like, you know, it got really wide, but you had to carry it like 310, 315. And so it's like, you know, it depends on those yardages, but I would say in general, typically a little more aggressive in simulators than I would be in real life. Yeah.
What was it like coming down the stretch today, knowing that you were right there again, having just done the last event?
Yeah. I mean, I felt the same thing. I mean, I felt super nervous again. I was hoping that there would be more confidence there that I could close the deal just because I did it last time, but I really didn't feel like I was that much more confident, you know, but I just kind of tried to rely on the same mental strategies that I did last time. It's like, even if you feel nervous, you know, you just got to think about your practice. You know, I try a lot in my practice to put pressure on myself, you know, to find different games that are really pressure packed. Situations for different yardages and shots and all that. And so when I'm playing and come down the stretch with the pressure on, I kind of think back on how I felt and how I, you know, what I needed to feel in my swing to make the ball go where I want it to go. And so I kind of try and lean on that. Doesn't always work, but sometimes it does.
Right. The yips are long gone, right?
They are.
That's
a decade
in the past.
Yeah, the long putter, you know, I'm back to a pretty good putter again. You know, that was always a strength when I was in college and playing professionally. And, you know, now I feel like I am a good putter again. So, yeah.
What does it mean to you, Jordan? Because we're kind of reverted back to everything that you probably set out to do. All those feelings have come back when you first started playing professionally, and you hope to win tournaments, you hope to make big checks. Here you are, 12 years later. What does it mean to you to win, to contend, to be back in the conversation, to be relevant and kind of on the cutting edge of this type of competition? It kind of has its own category in the professional game.
Yeah, I really just have like these butterflies. I mean, it's like it's so exciting. It's fun. I can't believe it's happening to me. Like there should be other guys that are beating me right now. You know, I don't know why this is happening. You know, it's like this pathway is opened, and it's just been a crazy ride, and all the attention that's come with it, you know, has just been, I haven't had it for a long time. And it feels good to, like, I've always loved golf, and it's always been something I've thought about and like wished I could have an opportunity, and now to actually have one, and not only have one, but to like execute, is like, I can't believe I'm doing it. You know, so it's been fun, and I just hope I can keep it going. Who knows how long it'll last. So I'm just trying to enjoy it while I can.
That's great. I mean, that right there just makes me a fan of simulator golf, that answer in itself. Ryan, I've kept this man, the number one simulator player in the world, for nearly 40 minutes. What do you have for us to wrap up? Anything?
I mean, that answer was perfect. It's a perfect way to end, Jordan. Like this, you know, I think, you know, I mean, you have the same feelings, and you have the same goals that everyone else does. I mean, I would be covering this story 1,000 times over. We need to now. So this podcast was awesome. We'll write an article. The story is amazing. And yeah, thanks for the time, man. It was awesome to listen to.
Yeah. Thank you guys. I love following all the stuff you're doing. It's so fun to read all your stuff, and it's great information. And so keep up the good work. I enjoy following you guys. You're great.
Thanks, Jordan. You too. We're fans, and we wish you the best going forward.
Yeah, awesome. Right. Look forward to following you at the DP World Tour. Keep it rolling, dude.
Gosh, I hope so. That'd be amazing. All right, thank you, guys.
See Thanks, you. Jordan. Have a great day.